The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
I got some breaking news, folks. There's a company out there that has used the internet to promote one of their films. I mean, I'm telling you, they put their trailer up on YouTube. They bought blog ads and actually spent money on advertising that wasn't traditional advertising. And because of that, we're now interviewing one of the guys responsible for the movie, well, breaking news. Now, this is a movie that you probably wouldn't have known about because it's one of those movies that Jake watches. And those movies are just the ones that are off the beaten path slightly. Like
Johnny To is actually a very famous director, though, in the Hong Kong film world.
And you would know this.
Yes.
Because this is what you watch on a regular basis, which makes Netflix probably one of your biggest enemies.
I pretty much ignore Netflix.
Do they have, like, a Netflix for the movies that you watch?
They don't, but Netflix sometimes has the movies that I watch.
All right.
Scarecrow Video down the street is actually much easier.
Up here in Seattle. Yeah. Okay. So we've got this movie. I'm sitting here in front of the DVD, a four-star film that apparently Jake just loved so much. He said, oh, my God, this is just amazing. Then apparently they bought an ad on Jake's site that the – I guess would it be – the person we're talking to, Sal.
Yeah.
Were you the one responsible for buying an ad on Jake's site?
Well, I'm physically responsible for it, but I'm responsible for the marketing at Palm Pictures. So overall, yes, I guess I am.
So why did you guys decide to go the internet route with this? With Palm Pictures in general?
Well, you know, the film just begged for it. Number one, and just with the Hong Kong action. There's just a lot going on the internet surrounding Hong Kong action films. And
yeah, baby. When I search for Hong Kong action on Google, let me tell you, I get some results.
It's kind of a broad. Yeah, you might want to narrow your search just a little bit.
Yeah, it's
maybe
a broad.
Maybe add the word film after. But I don't know. Even then, you might get something. But no. You know what? We work with very limited budgets on a lot of these films, especially the foreign films that come in from Asia, and so the internet provides us with a terrific vehicle to kind of dialogue with people one on one in a very interesting and unique way. And I think breaking news, just the subject matter of the film, kind of begged to be on online. We're talking about a film that deals with the media and information and what's the truth and what isn't. So. Seems like a perfect place to go with this.
So how did blog ads work out for you?
You know, we've been getting some great response. We've gotten a lot of page views, and a lot of different sites have picked this up, and thousands of people so far. The movie just released this week, so we're still kind of in the throes of it. But it's been very successful so far. A lot of trailers, people viewing the trailers. Getting some postings, and we're still connecting the dots, so to speak, with everyone, which I think is I'm learning every day about the internet. I have to admit, a lot of this is fresh to me, and but I bring in people that know what they're doing, and they show me how it's done, and I think it's awesome.
Sal, how did you find out about blog ads in the first place?
Well, I mean, anyone who has a computer, has been blogged, or seen a blog, and I'm certainly, been playing around on my Apple for a long time, and being in the business, it hasn't exactly been a secret, the power of blogs. It's the community-based stuff, and I just find it fascinating. So I've been on a few myself, and we decided to utilize them a little bit more aggressively in movie marketing. So I think people like having conversations about their favorite films or their favorite actors or the style, and it just seems like a natural place to advertise.
Well, you probably spent a few $100 on Jake's blog, and well, hey, now you got an interview coming out of it.
And now I'm doing a podcast, which I think is
So indirectly you bought publicity, but
we try not to do that. We don't want to influence people that way. But if it worked out, it worked out.
Well, Jake is, like I said, he's a sucker for these kind of films. So I think you're going to become his dealer here.
Excellent. Well, Johnny cranks out the movies. I mean, he puts out about two or three films a year, and
yeah, but some of them are great, like Breaking News, and some of them are kind of not so great.
Not so great. Well, I think he's probably most proud of PTU, a film called PTU, Police Tactical Unit.
Yep, that was a good one.
Yeah, did you like that one? And Breaking News, he's fond of just because of the message and you know, especially he would probably tell you, especially at this time in history, particularly for an American audience, a film like Breaking News probably, you know, resonates a little bit because of what, you know, the manipulation of media for purposes maybe, you know, by governments that aren't necessarily in your best interest.
Well, one of the quotes, at least on the front cover, the only quote on the front cover,
mm-hmm.
caught my attention because we know Jeffrey Kleinman over at DVD Talk.
Yeah.
And he says, quote-unquote, a tightly wound thriller, action-packed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he says it, then it must be true.
And actually, the full review says a lot more than that and says fairly glowing things about the movie.
Well, I can imagine the review is a little longer than just a couple of quips.
Yeah, well, you know, we couldn't fit the whole review on
the whole 1,500 words on the front cover.
Exactly.
Boy, wouldn't that just be revolutionary, though, just to release the whole review on the front cover? And you know?
Well, you know, we've come close. You know, sometimes we can do inserts and things. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we got some great reviews. I think the most famous thing about Breaking News, and I think if you look at the New York Times, also gave it a great review, is the opening sequence to the film, which is a 7-minute one-shot sequence. And I don't know if you've noticed it. It's all one shot, and it's probably one of the greatest opening sequences in cinema. You know, mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of action going. And they rehearsed it for I think it took them 3 days to get that done, and they just shot it straight through.
You know, I didn't think about that at the time that I watched it, but now that you say that...
Go back and watch it, because, you know, the actual shot was at the end of the third day. They rehearsed for 3 days, and at the end of the third day, they shot it straight through, and they almost ran out of sunlight, you know, achieving it the way that he wanted, and it's probably his greatest challenge so far. And there is a Hollywood remake coming of this, by the way. I'm not sure exactly when, but somebody's optioned this, and I think it'll make a great remake.
Unfortunately, though, my guess is that the Hollywood remake will not have the special feature of Cantonese Dolby Digital 5.1.
Probably not. No, you would have to get the Palm Pictures original DVD release in order to experience it that way.
If there's one thing that I've been saying that the market is just not saturated enough with, and that's Cantonese Dolby Digital 5.1.
Yeah, I don't think you can really ever have enough.
The only problem with Cantonese Dolby Digital 5.1 is that a half hour later you want to hear more.
You want...
It's not filling enough. Right? All right.
You know, but that isn't that the trick to showbiz, is that you just got to leave them wanting more.
Wanting more, is that the trick?
Always been my rule of thumb. You got to get them to come back.
So Palm Pictures takes these movies and then brings them to the American market.
We do. We scour the planet for, you know, unique and interesting and critically acclaimed films. You know, we focus on, you know, in the independent market, obviously, film festivals. You know, we go to Hong Kong, we go to Cannes, we'll go to Sundance, we'll travel all over the place, and we have relationships with filmmakers, and they often come to us as well. Mm. We have a nice Asian cinema library, actually, so that has done quite well for us. So, and of course, a lot of wonderful films are coming out of countries like China and so forth. And Johnny To, you know, kind of being one of those directors that has kind of broken through and has gotten some recognition here in the States.
And how many movies do you guys actually carry right now?
Oh, you know, we're a small independent company. We probably have about 120 active titles on any given day, and we're probably adding about 20 to 25 films a year at this point.
That's pretty good.
So, you know, we're releasing, probably on average, you know, two DVDs a month, you know, and theatrically less, because some go straight to video, and some are released in limited kind of fashion.
But it's not just Hong Kong action movies. There's a lot of stuff that is a lot deeper than, you know, like an action entertainment film that you guys are doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, the Asian cinema, you know, ranges from action to thriller, you know, to just high drama. There's certainly films, we have been picking up movies from South America. We had one from Ecuador called Chronicus, which also dealt with the media, similar, dealt with kind of reality TV and news coverage and how a reporter goes too far. We also have documentary films like Gunner Palace, which deals with or deals with the Iraq, the war in Iraq, and the soldier's life, basically. That's a fascinating movie that came out last year. This gentleman, Michael Tucker, basically traveled to Iraq after President Bush declared, here we go with media, declared major combat over, and parked himself at a bombed-out pleasure palace that was owned by Saddam Hussein, and it was turned into a military base. And he basically filmed the soldiers over the course of several months and what it was like to actually be a soldier in Baghdad and patrolling the streets and living in this palace. So it's a great backdrop for a movie because the pool still worked and the golf course, you know, and everything was functioning. Half of it was bombed out, and the other half still had the gold faucets and everything else. And it proved to be interesting. So we're a very risk-taking kind of company. We're interested in kind of bringing many different voices, independent voices together in our library. So, and there's also the music. You know, Chris Blackwell owns our company, who, I don't know if you knew that, but was the founder of Island Records, if you remember. People like Bob Marley or U2, Melissa Etheridge, he was responsible for. So he's the person kind of driving the company.
When you guys bring in movies from the Asian countries, do you keep the English subtitles?
We do. Yes, we do give English subtitles.
No. Not English. English.
Oh,
so someone who speaks English as a second language or uses Babelfish to basically translate it.
You know, I don't even know if we've come across that. I would imagine so. I don't know the answer to that question.
That's the fun part for me of watching foreign movies, is watching the subtitles and how off they have to be.
We usually do the subtitles ourselves. We don't take, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We'll do it here. We'll take the film and do it properly. So,
do you ever make anything up? Like, you don't know what he said, and you just like, we'll just fill in the blank?
No, you know.
Not that they're going to admit.
We try, our audience is very particular, and I think we really try to be as accurate as possible. So if there's a slight nuance to something, or you know, we'll actually research it and try and find the best way to present it.
And actually, I will say that in watching, because I don't know if I've watched any other Palm Pictures releases or not.
Yeah.
If I have, I didn't really pay attention to who was releasing the movie.
Yeah.
But in general, I would say that the subtitles on Breaking News were far superior, like in sentence structure wise.
Yeah.
To most of what I watch.
We generally take what I mean. We'll get delivery of the film probably with the English subtitles because a lot of them are released that way. In other territories, but generally we'll redo them because we'll watch it straight through, and of course we'll notice those things and either correct it or redo the subtitling completely. We did try, actually, with a couple of Asian films. We were told by one of our distributors that deals with the retail market, said, you know, we'll sell more if we dub it in English, if we dub these films in English, you know, because Americans don't really want to read, was what we were told.
Or Americans can't read, one of the
two. Yeah, one or the other, exactly. You decide. But so we were very reluctant to do that and said, well, we're kind of purists over here, and we really feel that our audience doesn't mind reading subtitles and they want to hear the original language. So we compromised and said, well, all right, we'll try. You know, it's really expensive to hire a bunch of actors, and you know, and then you do have issues where it doesn't quite sound right. And it doesn't, you know what I mean? The voices
don't sync up with the mouths moving.
Yeah, they don't. They obviously don't sync up with you know, it starts looking like Godzilla. And so we tried it, and we thought maybe we'd see some lift, and it didn't do a damn thing. We sold just as many, maybe even less by doing that. We got some criticism, so you won't be seeing us doing English dub versions of Asian cinema anymore.
Why did you go with YouTube to upload the trailer instead of other sites?
You know, we found it's really easy to use, and you can tag and share. You don't have to worry about like formats and some sizes and things like that. And you know, I think you know you can use the MySpace pages, and it just seemed like a really friendly space. You know, we like to that people can kind of clip it and mark things as their favorite, things like that. So, I don't know. We like the YouTube. We had some success with it. And frankly, my online marketing gentleman, you know, kind of highly recommended it, and I said, let's go for it and see what happens.
When you said you had success with it, how do you measure success in terms of uploading a trailer?
Well, you know, I think, you know, we posted the breaking news trailer, and it's probably approaching something in the neighborhood of 1,000 views at this point. It hasn't really been up there that long, so I measure success. You know, it's hard to measure these things, you know, in dollars. You know, there's so many things that are going on. Online is a component of many things. When it comes to marketing a film, you have things going on in a store environment. You have publicity that's happening, you know, like I mentioned, the New York Times. You have a lot of things that are driving, you know, searches and traffic. But I think we want to target as much as possible. So I think over time we'll be able to evaluate, you know, whether or not this campaign was a success. It's a little bit early for us to kind of say, wow, it's a slam dunk. You know, we really kicked ass on breaking news. We're doing well with the title, but it's a niche film, you know, that appeals to a limited audience. So I think we'll see when we start to get some feedback, and we're happy. We're obviously doing something right because I'm talking to you right now, and I think we need to kind of continue down this path. So,
Sal, that doesn't mean anything. Jake was just bored. He was watching YouTube. I hate to break the bubble here,
well, you know.
No,
I don't think so.
Actually, no, I was fascinated.
I think we did something right. I'm going to stick with mine.
No, I was actually fascinated that, because, I mean, like, a Hong Kong action film isn't something that normally shows up in my blog hats. Normally, it's something really geeky. And
like,
so,
like what's really geeky?
Like the WGBH's Nova Productions on like the robot challenge and
really
and like Citrix's Go to Meeting product, which isn't as geeky, but I mean the technology behind it is geeky. So those are the kinds of things that I typically see. So seeing like an action movie show up was a pleasant surprise, and not only that, this is a movie that I had seen reviewed a while ago, but was only available like as a Region 3 Hong Kong release.
Yeah, only as an import.
And I mean, I will occasionally get movies that are imports, but for the most part, I'm too lazy, and I'm going to wait till it's actually available in Region 1 before I'm even going to bother.
And you know what? We love you for that.
So I mean, it was sort of serendipity that I happened to really like Hong Kong action movies.
Would you like to see more films like this come your way? I mean,
yes, by all means.
Is your audience, you know, obviously is something that you're delivering to your audience was going to respond to?
I think definitely my audience will respond to it because, I mean, there's at least some portion of my audience that doesn't hate the fact that I write about that stuff. Because otherwise I would get emails saying, this sucks, stop writing about it.
Exactly. It's like, what is this crap doing on, you know, on your show? We're happy that there's, you know, we know there are people out there that are interested in us, and we're glad that we're finding them, you know. So if this leads to, you know, others, you know, which it will, despite the nature of the beast, then we're going to continue doing it, and we're probably going to have a few more movies from Johnny, so we'll keep sending them to you, you know, and you can love them or hate them.
Sal, you had mentioned MySpace. I mean, just kind of in passing when we were talking about YouTube. Have you set up a MySpace profile and are adding friends at breakneck speed?
I don't believe we've done a MySpace profile for this film. You know, that's something that we've been talking about. I think a lot of people are talking about. I know in the music business, MySpace is a big deal. I think, you know, we don't want to be, if we set things up, it really needs to be organic, and it needs to be a place for people to have a conversation and to have a meaningful conversation for us. We're not the kind of company that really aggressively kind of jams things down your throat. We're not out there doing TV spots saying, you know, now on DVD, you know, buy me. You know, it really has to come from the audience back, and we do our best to just let people know that things are available and put messages out there that people can respond to and have some meaningful dialogue for. So I think MySpace is great for that. You know, there's the functionality of it and everything else is great, but just in kind of creating this online community, I think it's been very successful. So we'll look into it. I think we have to kind of figure out the best way to do it. I certainly don't want to have people, you know, we can set it up and kind of let it take its course. You know.
Would you recommend going this route? online, you know, whether it's blog ads, MySpace, YouTube, whatever, for other independent producers or, I guess, distributors?
Yeah, I mean, I've done some research just, you know, on video DVD people and particularly, you know, consumers of DVD, particularly in independent film space. And there's very little research on independent film marketers, and, you know, that's available because most producers and even some of the studios really can't afford to commission those studies. So we were lucky enough to be able to kind of put a study together, and you know you know, you make assumptions going into any kind of a research study that you think, well, I think my consumer is an online consumer, and sure enough, you know, of course, you know, for independent foreign and art house films and music, which is what we are, you know, a lot of folks are looking and shopping and researching online. So we really have to be online. We really need to be and have a presence online. You know, Chris Blackwell, you know, was a leader in kind of the online space and founded spaces like Sputnik 7 and Epitonic, one of the first spaces where you could download music, you know, before there was an iTunes or anything else. And those spaces continue to be robust and part of our world that we live in here at Palm. So the internet has always been very, very important to Palm Pictures, and we realize that it's a great vehicle, and we're happy that it's, you know, that it's at the point that it's at right now where we have all these options to promote and have conversations about these films. You know, it's all about expression. So that's first and foremost on our mind.
Well, we'll be watching you express yourself in the coming years.
Okay, and, you know, like I said, feel free to like or not like. Just be sure to talk to us. You know, that's what it's all about.
You've certainly made it easy to do.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Sal.
The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, you get hosting, a free blog, complete email, and more. Plus, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1, that's C-H-R-I-S, and the number 1 when you check out, and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.